Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, October 13th. Well, don't let the date, October 13th, Friday the 13th, make you shake in your boots. Nothing but good luck here on this program, as we have two Food Friday All-Stars here, Deanna Fox and Rocco DeFazio, teaming up to highlight the best of Italian cuisine. This will be quite a show. Give us a call at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You may also email us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number, 800-348-2551. Rocco DeFazio and Deanna Fox. Yes, it's like Sonny and Cher without the acrimony. Well, maybe with the acrimony. We'll find out after the news. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We are really spoiled today. We welcome not one, but two Food Friday Hall of Famers. Deanna Fox is a freelance food and agriculture writer based in the Capital District. Her work is known locally in the Times Union, all over Albany, Edible Capital District, also in national publications like Eater and Beer Advocate. More can be found on her website, foxonfood.com, or on Facebook under Fox on Food. Rocco DeFazio opened DeFazio's Wood-Fired Pizzeria in Troy in 1989 and has since won numerous Best of Awards from around the Capital Region for unique pizza offerings at Italian fare. Rocco is an expert in Italian foods. His parents opened Troy mainstay DeFazio Imports in 1951. He's a Siena College grad and a former science teacher. They're here to discuss Italian delicacies from around the region. Deanna and Rocco, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Did I miss the induction ceremonies for the Hall of Fame?
No, I do that myself.
Oh, that's a private
thing. Actually, you'll find a plaque in the newsroom if you look closely enough.
I missed the induction
ceremony. Yeah, you're in. Okay. And, you know, I got to say there, by the way, the number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Got to say, there was a little somewhat terse back and forth about the amount of mic time you would each have on the program.
That was all Rocco. I had nothing to do with that. You think I'm a mic hog. He's like, oh, listen here, Foxy. Don't.
I don't want to go. I told you.
Okay. Listen, I don't want any trouble. I don't want to have to separate you two.
He can't share the spotlight. You know, he's such a star. He's so great.
I don't want to go Ike Turner here.
Okay? And that's the end of the program. Good night, everybody. Thank you. Drive safely. And this will be the last Food Friday. Jeepers creepers, Rocco, you're killing me. The number is 800-348-2551. And, first of all, Deanna Fox, what did you bring today?
I brought some bocce. So little tiny classic Italian cookies. They are from the Veneto region of Italy. So they're a northern Italian cookie. And because they're from a portion of Italy, traditionally that is a merchant city, a port city, or a port region, they have rum in them.
Oh. Yeah. So I thought that was chocolate.
There is chocolate. There's chocolate. So if you are watching online, you can see the cookies. But what they are is they're almost like Italian shortbread. So it's a lot of butter, just a little bit of sugar, some salt, flour, and then a healthy, copious amount of spiced rum in there. So the rum is actually right in the cookie. And then you bake them. Wow. You roll them into little balls and you bake them. And you bake them until they just get firm and they're a little bit golden on the bottom. And then you melt some chocolate. So in my chocolate, I have a little bit of chocolate hazelnut spread with some semi-sweet chocolate. And you kind of melt that over a double boiler and it turns into like a frosting. And you spread it and you push them together. And bocce means kiss. And so they're like a little kiss. And they're little so that you don't have to bite them. You just pop them in your mouth and eat them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I thought chocolate was not all that common in desserts in Italy.
Well, there is chocolate, and you'll find it more in places where there is a lot of trade happening. But traditionally, there isn't a lot of chocolate, and there isn't a lot of even sugar or egg or really cream. Mm. There's a lot of fruit, a lot of especially citrus or fig. But it does change. Italy, that's part of the thing with Little Italy neighborhoods, is that those neighborhoods kind of have a region of Italy that they really specialize in, and you'll notice how regional all the desserts are. So when you get, Rocco can talk more on this too, when you get closer, you know, through the north in Italy, there'll be heavier desserts. In southern Italy, where you have the heavy, rich tomato sauces and meats, lighter desserts.
You know, so. Deanna Fox, I got to say, this is the longest. You're doing
right.
It's the longest he's ever been silent in the studio. It's beautiful.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah, do it.
You tell me when I
You got 12 seconds. Go.
Just tell me when I can talk. No, she hit it right out of the nose.
I told you there'd be acrimony.
I didn't see any hand raising, all right? So
all right.
I'll pontificate.
I'll have to raise my hand.
Okay.
No, she hit it right on the nose. And you did also, Ray. Chocolate, you go to northern Italy, you're going to get a lot of Swiss, German influences. You go to, like, where my dad is from, Calabria, no chocolate.
Yeah.
And it's very little, a lot of honey instead.
Right. And we've had this discussion
we
before.
Have, right. And you, but it, the further you go north, or you go, like she said, about going to areas that were big trading centers, like where the people were merchants,
yeah,
you're going to get that influx of spices and foods from other parts of the world.
Well, I had a chance to try it before the show. And A1. Just
thank you.
Beautiful, tasty, not too sweet, really thank nice. You. And you don't even taste the rum.
No, you get like a little bit of spice,
yeah,
like sweet spice in the back, but there's not a lot of sugar in those. There's hardly any
yeah,
sugar.
Yeah, they're really tasty.
And it's basically a shortbread recipe. But they're real easy to make, and they're great to make with kids because they're a lot of, it's very easy rolling. You roll everything into a little ball. You spread a little chocolate on there. It's just inherently messy, so something kids can do.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
And we are talking Italian food today with Rocco DeFazio and Deanna Fox. The number here is 800-348-2551. And before we get to the phones, Rocco, you brought some things that look really, really good.
Well, this past summer we visited Philadelphia. And they have a great Italian neighborhood, the North Philly.
Yeah.
And they have one area, the Italian Market, which is about 10 blocks of shops, open-air stands. And you can get every type imaginable of cheeses, olive oils, meats. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I highly recommend people to go to North Philly, to the Italian neighborhood, and it's just wonderful. And what it inspired me there was, so I made a Philly cheesesteak stromboli.
Oh, man. Now, is this on the menu at DeFazio's?
No, not yet, but we might have to make a Philly cheesesteak pizza because that's what Philadelphia is, you know, it's
sure.
Pat's and Gino's, you know, who makes the best.
Right, and we won't get into that discussion today.
No. But if you go to Atlantic City, there's a place there called the White House.
Yeah.
Opened up after World War II.
You're talking about White Castle or the White House?
No, the White House.
Okay, just checking.
Two Italian brothers opened it after World War II. Incredible. And everybody and their brother has eaten there. Matter of fact, I offered the guy a lot of money for a picture he had behind the counter of the Beatles.
No way.
Eating a sub. At the White House.
Wow.
That's how crazy that place is.
And how much did you offer?
Everything I had in my pocket. And he goes, buddy, not even
You're
close.
Not the first to You're make that not. Offer. Yeah.
Pretty neat place, the White House. So if you go to AC, Atlantic City, definitely go to the White House.
All right. And so that looks amazing. And what's the other one?
The other one is something I came up with. It's another stromboli. But what I did was I encrusted the top of it with meats.
Oh, yeah.
Some soppressata, some capicola, some pepperoni, and it tastes like bacon. It's pretty something.
What's
we're
inside?
Gonna do for the holidays. Italian meats and cheeses,
oh,
of course.
Oh, boy. All right. So we have dessert, we have the stromboli, and then you brought some of the famous gelato.
Well, mm-hmm. She brought bocce, but mm-hmm. I knew we needed a little bit more dessert.
Yeah.
So
I'm okay with that. Bring it on. Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to make Italian sliders, gelato sliders.
What?
And what?
Gelato sliders with bread.
I have the great rolls from Prinzo's Bakery.
Rocco,
the best.
Have you been drinking?
No.
What kind of an idea is this?
Try it. You'll like it.
Okay, man.
We have some pink Himalayan sea salt. Thank you, Deanna, for helping me there.
Mm-hmm. And the good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And we have some flavored oils. We have strawberry, we have orange, and basil. So this will be...
So we're going to put gelato on bread with sea salt and olive oil.
Oh, man. If you haven't had, especially Rocco's gelato.
Which I have had. It's fantastic.
With the olive oil on it, though.
I have.
Yeah. So
but
good.
On bread?
Why not?
Is this a new thing? Did you make this up?
No, we tell people we didn't invent wood-fired pizza. We just perfected it. Okay. We tell people we didn't invent putting... No, because if you go to Sicily, that's how they serve gelato. They get a brioche roll, they cut it open, and they put... And they give you a little spoon, and you eat the gelato, and then it's an ice cream sandwich.
Oh, my gosh. This is a real ice cream sandwich.
It's a real ice. So we have that. She brought bocce. I brought a few others.
Yeah, all right. So why don't we take a call or two, and then we'll get down to some serious eating here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551, the number. James and Hudson. James, you're first.
Hi. I was going to ask. Well, it's turned into a two-part question, so it's so busy listening. What is the secret to a good salsa bolognese, bolognese sauce? And what is the best pasta to serve with it? I actually did have it in Bologna, but I was so busy eating it that I didn't pay attention.
Okay.
I'll jump in.
Thank you, Rocco.
Thank you, dear. Matter of fact, my parents had the opportunity of visiting Bologna some years ago. And my father's, there's always a story to this stuff, you know that. And my father's nephew was stationed up there. He's a Carabinieri. And so he brought him into this wonderful Italian restaurant. And where my parents are from, there's no bolognese sauce, mm-hmm. especially in Calabria. They don't do bolognese.
Yeah.
And they had...
Calabria, it's different, yeah.
Oh, way different. It's like night and day. You know, it's like getting chicken wings down in Alabama, you know, buffalo, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So they loved it. He asked the chef to come out. The chef gave them the recipe. And the recipe that he gave my parents, which I do now, has 15 ingredients.
Yeah.
And we put pancetta in it. We put... beef, and I don't use just pork. I use my Italian sausage in it. But the key is timing when you put your next... That's what the chef told my parents. It's the timing of when you put your next ingredient in.
So how do you learn that?
Practice.
Yeah?
And just when you have to taste... You know, I start with butter, a little oil... then the onions, then the carrots, and you just have to look and see and taste, and there's 15 ingredients. Slow simmer.
And what about the best pasta for bolognese?
That's a no-brainer. It's only pappardelle.
Okay.
That's how they serve it. Or you could do, you know, a hearty. You would use angel hair.
Right.
You have to use a hearty, wouldn't you agree, Deanna?
Yeah, I would say to make it into a lasagna. I feel like that's the best.
Oh, yes, that's very, yes.
Okay.
But I think Rocco mentioned something really important, which is to add the carrot.
Oh,
which
for
adds
the sweetness.
A little sweetness. But also, I think people confuse bolognese with just meat sauce.
Oh, no.
And they think it's just meat with tomato sauce. And bolognese just has a very little bit of tomato paste in it.
It's
not really a tomato sauce. It's a meat sauce, a little cream, a little dairy, a little bit of tomato.
Yes.
So,
do you ever put some Pepsi in there to sweeten it up, Rocco?
Pepsi.
I just do that to irritate them. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. We'll be back on a Food Friday.
Support for WAMC comes from Cooperstown Farmers Market in its 27th year, bringing farmers and artisans together to provide local goods. Open every Saturday year-round. CooperstownFarmersMarket.org. Big Elm Brewing. Tap room open Thursday through Saturdays, noon to 6 p.m. Crafting ales and lagers in Sheffield, Massachusetts since 2012. BigElmBeer.com. Field Goods, Local produce from the Hudson Valley delivered weekly to workplace and community locations, helping people change the way they eat while supporting small sustainable farms. Field-goods.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grant Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and no moo dairy free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com.
Oh boy. Oh man.
You like that?
Rocco. The Stromboli.
So good. My mouth is so full right now.
It is really, so really, good. Really, really good.
Really, mm-hmm. really.
I will need about 7 Alka-Seltzers after the show. Just saying. Well, that's a success. Better see that on the menu, I'm thinking.
You'll
soon.
See that for the holidays.
800-348-2551. We talk Italian food today with Deanna Fox and Rocco DeFazio on a Food Friday. And let's go on over to Carol and Troy. Carol.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a big fan of his pizza here, Rocco's Pizza,
mm-hmm.
and it's one of the best reasons to live in Troy, I think.
Thank you very much, Carol.
Pardon me?
Thank you, and the check will
You're
be
welcome.
In the mail. I told Ray I wasn't going to do this anymore, you know. But
you weren't going to do the show anymore?
No, I wasn't going to pay people to call.
Rocco, you know that's against the rules. All right, go ahead, Carol.
Well, some time ago, I think there were articles in the Troy Record that he was going to expand from his traditional store to a larger sort of restaurant, sort of sit down.
We are still working on that, Carol. And I'll tell you a little secret. A very good friend of mine who's a very successful restaurateur told me, he says, Rocco, do you know when most restaurants fail? And he said, they fail before they even open their door because they don't plan things well. And once you're in there and working, those mistakes just multiply.
Ah.
So we are taking our time and we're doing it right. And it will be open, Carol.
It's been a while. I mean, I saw the plans a while back.
Oh, you saw the plan. Oh, yeah. We're moving ahead.
The pyramids took less time.
But it's going to be much more fun than the pyramids.
Fair enough. Well, hey, Carol, thank you very much for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Rocco, I cannot get over this Philly cheesesteak stromboli.
It's so good, Rocco.
What's
That's
in it?
Yummy.
That has boar's head Cajun roast beef.
Oh, yeah.
Which has a nice flavor. Land O'Lakes American cheese, which I'm a big fan of.
Yes.
Some Italian sweet peppers, fried peppers, and barbecue sauce.
Oh, that's what it is, the barbecue sauce. I'm not going to answer any more questions. I'm going to eat for the rest of the show.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah. I'm just like hanging back, and it's like, oh, a microphone.
The barbecue sauce, yeah.
Barbecue sauce, nice touch.
What kind of barbecue sauce?
Cattlemen's.
I'm sorry?
Cattlemen's.
Cattlemen's.
It's a...
brand, yeah.
It's a restaurant brand.
It's great.
Very good.
All right, well, that was successful. Let's go back to the phones here, and we go over to Ron in Vermont. Ron, you're on.
Hey, I just want to say hello to Rocco. I don't know if Rocco remembers me. I lived on Adams Street. My name's Ron Wildowney.
Oh, Ron, sure. How you been?
Good. Used to come to your store every
I
day
remember.
After delivering papers and buy my Capicola and my sandwich.
Yes.
Stuff. I just loved your place, and I just miss it. I mean, I live over in up in the Adirondacks now, but I come down to Troy once in a while. I didn't know that you opened another store, and I just didn't know where it was located.
Same store.
Oh, right? No, we're still there, but we have the pizzeria next door, Ron. And
oh,
we purchased
cool.
the old it's Vanilla Bean building, and we hope to be moving in there.
That's cool. Well,
that's
Ron,
awesome. I'll be stopping in to say hello.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks
you have a
lot.
Question?
It was the best Italian food I've ever eaten in my life. I lived in Little Italy, and I can't find it anywhere else. So I just wanted to just say that out, a little shout out to you.
Well, thank you so much, Ron.
No. Rocco, it's pathetic. You're paying all these callers.
And your check will be in the mail. Ridiculous. I know you're in the Adirondacks. It will get there.
You know, Deanna Fox is here, too, and she could go with a compliment once in a while as well. 800-348-2551. Johanna in Marbletown is on.
Oh, hi. I was really interested in your thinking about chocolate in Italy, because I just came back from Sicily, where there was a lot of chocolate, including a chocolate factory. And had you ever heard like that they got it because there was so much Spanish rule over Sicily?
Well, a fun thing about Sicily, Johanna, is that Plato, so all of Italian food has always been very regional, and a lot of it failed or declined, or the culture just kind of faded after the fall of Rome. But prior to that, Sicily was known as like the food capital, the hedonist capital. Plato even wrote about how hedonistic and in love with food the Sicilians were, which says a lot coming from a Greek. But Sicily, there is a tradition of chocolate making in Italy, simply because when at the turn of the beginning of the Renaissance, when Catherine de' Medici went to France, she brought some of this culture with her, and so the culture kind of. People think it all started in France, but it really started in Italy, and it came and became more popular with her. So a lot of it did return back to Italy. But if you go now, you find like amazing Italian chocolate.
Oh yeah,
like there are places that make truffles and everything else. But traditionally, it wasn't always a part. It's more new, but to say new is like in the last 250 years.
Right, because really, Italy was especially the regions down south were very, very poor rural regions. Mm. And in the cities, Milan, Florence, of course, Rome, Bologna, you're going to get, but where most of the immigrants came from who settled in this country, chocolate and sugar was not a really big thing because they just didn't have the fun.
Right.
Perfect. My dad, where he was from, he told me they either bartered or made everything except for two things they would purchase, salt and matches. So they pretty much made everything else where he was in Calabria. And it was that spirit.
Right.
It was that spirit when these people came over who lived in those rural regions when there was famine and they had to get out of there. They knew how to make food. It wasn't like you grew up in the city and people made food for you.
Yeah.
There were no grocery stores. You had to make it.
Well, there you go. Hey, Johanna, thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. And we have Rocco DeFazio and Deanna Fox here. Well, some props coming in via email for Deanna Fox. This is from Chris, who writes, I took your course on dumplings in Hillsdale.
Mm.
It changed my life. Can you talk about the role of dumplings in cuisine around the world? Now, we're talking Italian cuisine here.
Well, Italians have their own dumpling, too. It's just ravioli.
That's right.
Mm. So,
And tortellini.
And tortellini, right? Anything. So, dumpling, I really feel there's only like 10, 11 actual recipes in the world, and then everything is a derivative from that. So there's one dumpling, and everything's a derivative of that dumpling. So, Chris, as you remember from class, we did the gyoza, and we did empanadas, and we did samosa, and ravioli, and pierogi. So they're all derivatives. So every culture you go to has some form of pretty much anything we're going to talk about today.
Sure.
There's some form of it anywhere in the world.
I'm a sucker for some good ravioli.
Mm. Well, I think Rocco could probably set you up.
I like ravioli.
We carry a very, very good brand out of Brooklyn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And years ago, I remember my mother saying, I can't make them better than this.
Yeah, well.
I can't make them better.
You can't beat perfection. But now there's something I like with bolognese sauce. And maybe it's wrong. Maybe it's a bad thing to do. Ravioli, cheese ravioli with bolognese sauce to me is a fantastic combination.
Why not?
If that's what...
But based on that tone, I can tell it's very wrong, but...
If it makes you happy, it's not wrong.
As long as it makes Ray happy.
So I put a little Pepsi in the tomato sauce, too. Did you know that?
No.
All right, let's go over to Matt in Beacon. Matt, you're on.
Yes, hi. How are you doing today?
Good.
I was going through my grandmother's old cookbooks that she had, and I came across one written by an Italian nun. And although the recipes were really interesting, I noticed that a lot of it cooked with fresh sage, especially dishes with like chicken livers and things like that. But it seemed like even with vegetables, there was a lot of fresh sage. I was not that before.
Okay, well, you're in and out of cellular coverage there, but did you get enough of that, Deanna?
Yeah, just how are you asking, like, how you would use it or why?
Well, I guess, yeah, it's such an odd flavor. I like it, but it seems like an odd flavor to cook with, especially you don't really think about sage being that much of an Italian herb that they use.
Right, but there are some, like, speaking of ravioli, a dish that I love to make is a squash ravioli. And to make a sauce for it, all you do is brown some butter. So you basically just take a stick of butter and you cook it really low. So it's slowly all the solids in it start to brown up a little bit. And then you throw a few fresh sage leaves in there. And sage is really complementary to different pork dishes, also really complementary to like hard cheese. So I'll let Rocco give you the dissertation on Italian hard cheeses. He's opinionated on it, but
yes, he is.
I would, you know, I couldn't speak to every dish that uses fresh sage in it that's Italian cooking, but you can. I would think it was probably more southern. What would you say, Rocco?
Yes, yeah. Yes. The ravioli with the sage and butter is classic southern Italian cuisine. Yeah, butter, sage, just toast it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Very tasty.
Hey, Matt, thank you very much for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. I know we still have to try the other stromboli, but I fear the gelato is going to melt.
We could kick it to that.
We should probably. I mean, this whole business about ice cream sandwiches with bread is just blowing my mind here.
Sicily.
Okay. You know, we'll
give it. The heathen Sicilians.
All right.
Right.
Our number is 800-348-2551. And before we get back to the phones and such, Rocco, a big event coming up that you are a part of.
Yes, I have a group of Puerto Rican customers who they all have relatives in Puerto Rico. So they came to me and we were talking about it. And you know I do the Stick It to Hunger thing.
Sure, stickball tournament.
In the spring. And in the Puerto Rican community, stickball is huge. It is, like, massive.
Even today?
Oh, my God.
You think back to the 30s, 40s, 50s, stickball, huge.
They just had a tournament called the States back in July, and people came from Puerto Rico, Florida, to play in this tournament in New York City. They will get hundreds, thousands of people to watch it. Oh, yeah, and they do the cowbells. They do the it's huge. So I said, listen, let's do a flash stickball thing where we can raise some awareness and items. So I gave a call.
This is for support for Hurricane Maria?
Yeah, we call it Stick It to Hurricane Maria.
Oh, nice.
Stick It to. So I called up my good friend, Assemblyman John McDonald, and asked him, what is New York State doing? And he said, they are bringing only these 7 items to Puerto Rico, and they have these are the things they are really, and if you could read them real quick.
Sure, batteries, flashlights, portable lanterns, diapers, baby wipes, cases of water, feminine hygiene products.
Those are the, and they have to be in their original container, and New York State will deliver those.
Oh, that's terrific.
Those 7 items. And we're doing it next Sunday where we play stickball in the market. And if people want to start dropping this stuff off to us, it's great.
Well, where is the marketplace?
It's between Washington and Liberty Street on Hill Street.
In Troy. Okay, and if people want to find out more, what do they do?
Just call me up at the pizzeria or store.
Okay, and that is
274-8866.
All right, Rocco, and we'll mention that again before
Thank
the end
you.
Of the program.
Stick It to Hurricane Maria.
All right, let's go back to the phones, and Rob in Albany. Rob, you're on.
Hi, I have a question about food and language and usage. Sometimes I hear people pronouncing Italian foods in a peculiar way where they drop the vowel at the end of the word.
Like gabagol.
So mozzarella. mozzarella becomes mozzarella. And capicola is a great example. To me, I find it very annoying.
Well,
and I wonder, is that just an affectation or is that
the right way to say it.
Rob, it's so funny because in the newsroom about 3 hours ago, this conversation took place. So, Rocco, take it away.
My dad would, he loved to have things pronounced the correct way.
Yeah.
He was very proud of his heritage. And so, it's not prosciutto, it's prosciutto.
Right.
It's not cubbygall. Right. It's capicola.
As it's spelled.
And stromboli. Yeah.
Nice.
So you put the emphasis on the entire word where it should be.
Okay, so that's the definitive answer. Yes. As it's spelled is as it should be.
Thank you. Not to, it's not like some people go, oh, you're from Italy. Your family's from Italy. And I'd say, I never heard of Italy. I've heard of Italy.
Does this irritate you?
Italy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It may happen on the show. just saying.
Are you from Italy?
Yeah,
I never heard
Italy?
Of Italy.
Hey, give me some of that gabagol. You know what I mean?
That capicola.
Capicola. Okay. Very good. Well, our number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Deanna Fox and Rocco DeFazio. And Deanna, what's happening with you? You said you were tired when you walked in.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of writing. I've been doing a lot of cooking, a lot of vegan cooking, a lot of vegan-related stories. So all you vegans out there,
oh my
here's
God.
Your moment.
You got to talk to John.
Yeah.
Jeez. Who's John?
His son, his boy.
Oh, is he a vegan?
You got to go down to his lair, down in the basement, where he keeps all his vegan ingredients. And
Do you have to keep them in the basement?
He does, because he thinks... I will not touch them. Believe me, I will not touch them.
Well, come on, man. Have an open mind.
So last night I made a vegan version of a turducken.
Really?
Yeah.
Now how would you do that? A turducken, for those who don't know, it's an abomination against nature, right?
You debone a bunch of poultry and you stuff them together. So you start with a turkey, and then you shove a chicken inside the carcass of a turkey, and then a duck inside the chicken.
Which is just an appalling thought.
Yes.
Until you eat it, it's delicious.
But now you've done a vegan version of that.
Yeah.
What?
Designed to terrify everyone, presumably.
So that will be available. If you want the recipe for that, it'll be available in the November issue of Upstate Magazine.
Oh, that's cool.
John will be keeping you cold.
Well, that's great, though. So so that's one of the things you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's take a break here. You know what? We got to have some of the other stromboli, and then we got to make these strange ice cream sandwiches.
Gelato, not ice cream.
From Italy. We'll be right back.
Support for WMT comes from River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, pekarskys.com. Gloriosa and Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, preparing weddings, showers, reunions, and more at the Curtis House with 3 B&B rooms available or at their recently renovated barn, Farm to Vase Florals, gloriosaco.com. Convino Wine Bar, Northampton, Massachusetts, over 70 wines by the glass and a full menu from afternoon snack through nightcap, live music Sundays and Mondays, outdoor seating, Thorns Marketplace, convinonoho.com. And Emma Willard School, Troy, New York, offering high school boarding and day programs for girls with a focus on leadership opportunities and personalized learning. EmmaWillard.org.
Hi, yes, come with us now down back to Italy.
Yes.
That's from a Fellini film, right? La Strada?
Yes.
I think that's...
I love that movie.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. It's a raucous event here with the two Hall of Famers, Rocco DeFazio and Deanna Fox. And
he's yelling at me for Russian. Look at him. He's pointing. He's yelling at me for Russian.
Okay,
the ice cream.
What are we doing and what is Deanna doing wrong, Rocco?
Your time.
What are we doing here?
My father would always say to me, Number one, don't stand up and eat.
Okay.
Never stand up and eat.
Okay.
If you don't have time to sit down and eat, don't eat.
All right.
Have a glass of water.
Okay. Wow.
Okay.
All right.
So she's like Russian.
Okay, but what for those who are listening,
right, we're
you
making,
can't see.
We're making the Sicilian, traditional Sicilian, the hedonist Sicilian traditional gelato ice cream sandwich.
This is amazing. So this is on a roll.
This is on a sweet roll.
Wow, it's amazing.
With...
It's a slider.
We have a little... Yes. Now, manja.
All right. Well, hang on. Explain it. While,
so
I, while
have,
I take a bite, you explain
we
it.
We put a little olive oil.
And
we,
what did Deanna do wrong?
She was...
I rushed it.
She rushed. She's
well,
like,
how can you rush it? You put the stuff on and then...
Slow.
Italian okay. food is very sensual.
Okay.
You have to, like,
it is. And
passion
your
slow
time.
And... Like we just said, I'm Irish, so I don't know about any of that stuff.
All right, now take a bite of that.
All right, all right, fair enough. You keep talking while I bite.
Don't go
I'll
ahead.
Turn my mic off.
So you need to have the oil like kind of soak into the roll a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it gets then you have the gelato melting, and then you have the Peruvian sea salt. Are you
yeah.
tasting it all?
Oh,
now?
I'm tasting it all. It's quite amazing.
Thank you.
This is something I got to tell you, I've never even heard of this before.
Again.
No Italians in my family.
We didn't invent yeah. it. I'm sure somewhere, but we just kind of like perfected
now,
this.
Now, this is something you could not possibly serve. This is something you do for friends, right? You would not serve this at the shop.
Oh, no. If you want it, we'll make it for you.
This is great.
Try
well, the gelato is great. And so.
Oh, that's we use the Battenkill Valley milk and cream.
And the last time you were on, you were sort of just getting that machine up and running.
John has mastered it. John's the gelato master. Mm. He's really mastered this thing. What do you think, Deanna?
Oh, it's so good. Mm.
Would you ever think that?
Oh, yeah.
That is something.
Olive oil and ice and gelato is like such an amazing flavor combination, and people never think to do that.
And the sea salt is
great.
Mm-hmm.
And like last night, I was at the Siena Festivino. Mm-hmm. They had hundreds of people. We had our cart, our gelato cart there, and we were telling people, you know, try. And they go, olive oil with gelato.
Oh, yeah.
And so we would, and they'd go, this is life-changing.
Yeah.
I never thought, isn't that yummy? And
that's
with
delicious.
That strawberry-infused mm-hmm. olive oil.
Pretty darn good.
See, because you don't put, when you get gelato, you don't put marshmallow sauce over it. Mm-hmm. You don't put. You don't do that.
You don't make a banana split with gelato?
No.
You sure?
That's being barbaric.
Tell them about an affogato, though. Explain
oh, the
that.
Affogato.
No, you yeah. can't say that on the radio.
I'm pretty... Okay, I'm sorry. You hit the button.
Okay.
Affogato is a couple of scoops of delicious vanilla gelato and a shot of espresso.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Thumbs up from Deanna Fox.
Oh, affogato. Mm-hmm. That's the way you end an Italian meal.
Mm-hmm. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox and Rocco DeFazio, the all-star guests here on the program. And Eric in Shelburne, Massachusetts. Eric, you're on.
Hi, guys. The food sounds absolutely delicious.
It really
so
is.
So good.
It really is.
Rocco's a master.
I was just calling to comment on this issue about the dropping of the vowels at the end of the word.
Yeah.
Just to note, it's really not a thing about like whether it's annoying or not or anything like that. Really, what it comes down to is that Italy, as a modern political entity, was only formed in the late 19th century. And before that, it was really totally separate cultures, countries. They were unified in the late 19th century. And they really had very distinctive ways of speaking. The North, and what happened was after unification, the Italian government out of Rome decided to adopt Tuscan Italian as quote-unquote standard Italian, which uses
high Italian.
All of the letters all the way through. So in the North, they will say prosciutto or fagioli or something like that, whereas in the South, they say prosciutto or fagioli or something like that. And then what ended up happening was a lot of the immigration into the United States at the turn of the 20th century happened to be from southern Italy, so those linguistic patterns got carried into the United States. But if you go into Tuscany or northern Italy today, they pronounce them all, and then if you go down into Sicily or the south of Rome or even in Rome to some extent, they tend to drop a lot of the vowels, and it's just regional.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. Because down south, like my father would tell me, down in Calabria, you know, you pretty much got to the third grade, and that was pretty much it. you know, then you're out in the fields working.
True.
But if you try to speak the language.
Wanted to drop that comment.
Yeah, if you try to learn the language too, like, you know, Italian as a second language, it's really complicated because you think you know it. And then depending on where you go in the country, it's a totally different language.
I think that's true with a lot of countries. Yeah. I know Germany, my grandmother would speak German that other people would come from mm-hmm. other parts of Germany and they say, well, what the hell did she say?
Right. And if you go to, you know, going back to what Eric was saying about Italy being unified relatively recently, the Italian border, the northern Italian border, is very new. Most of that, the whole Piedmont Italian, you know, mountainous region was Austria, or it was part of Germany, or it was part of France. It wasn't part of Italy. So when you go north in Italy, you encounter people who will speak four languages, and they can whip them off incredibly fluently. So that's where a lot of the desserts, like the northern food, it's very Austrian driven, or you get like apple strudel, Italian apple strudel.
What's the difference?
Northern Italy. It's not really a big difference.
They put any gabagool in it?
They don't. No. But you have that overlap between the cultures. The borders are very superficial. It's just the people don't change.
Hmm. Yeah. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Rocco DeFazio is here and Deanna Fox. 800-348-2551. So the ice cream is delicious.
Gelato.
All right, what? I only said that because I want to hear you explain again what the difference is between ice cream and gelato.
Okay, the main difference is the way it's whipped.
Yeah.
And when they whip ice cream, they use thin blades. So they whip it more, and when you whip it more, you get more air in it.
Right.
So you could get certain types of ice cream that only have 30% flavor, 70% air. Where gelato, they use thick blades, less air, so it's 20% air, 80% flavor. So when you eat gelato, the flavor is way more intense because there's less air in it.
But the ingredients are the same?
Not really, no. We get 90% of our ingredients right from Bologna, Italy, a company called Fabri. So,
no, but what
very
I mean is
intense.
The recipe.
Yeah, but it's the
core
it's
ingredients
whipped.
Are the same?
It's the machinery. It's the machinery and the way it's whipped. Hmm. And so that's why you don't put, you know, strawberry sauce over gelato. You put some nice infused olive oil because the flavor's there. You're not masking the flavor of the gelato. It's going to be there, correct?
Right. I think I should just eat the rest of that vanilla gelato, just to be sure.
I got to say,
the whole bucket.
This slider is an addictive thing.
It's good.
So I'm going to take another call here, and I'm going to have some more. 800-348-2551, the number. Deanna Fox and Rocco DeFazio with us today on A Food Friday. Jade, you're on.
Oh, boy, that was quick. Hey, really enjoying your program today. I think I'm going to have Italian meal tonight.
Nice.
Just one little humorous comment. I was working in the north end of Boston a few years ago, and they had some construction, so they had staging set up over the sidewalk, and there was two homemade signs on either side that said, "Watch your head." So I just wanted to share that with you when you were talking about the different leaving off some vowels or adding vowels. Watch your head.
I love the north end. My daughter, my youngest daughter, lives there, and she lives in a fourth floor of a walk-up.
Of course. It's a wonderful neighborhood.
It is.
Great food.
Over 100 restaurants.
100 restaurants.
And let me tell you about the North End.
All right.
Mario Batali, Wolfgang Puckett, they cannot open a restaurant there.
Why?
This is the way it goes in the North End. And those guys are brilliant.
Yeah.
Only the restaurateurs in the neighborhood. If a spot opens up, they ask the top restaurateur who could have four other restaurants in the neighborhood. Would you like that space? Nah, that's okay. Goes to the second one.
Huh.
Would you like it? They keep it in the neighborhood, and every restaurant does. You can invest in it.
Right.
But
Is that a good thing?
That's a very good thing, I think.
Deanna?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Right after you eat a place like Giacomo's in Boston.
Thank you.
Yeah. Which and has like, two or three restaurants. You're like, yeah, I can see why this works.
And like, I like Bricchio, which is up the street.
Mm-hmm.
Bricchio, those guys own five other restaurants.
Right.
So like one night we were there and we went and we couldn't get into Bricchio. So it took us like the fourth restaurant, which was on this side street. You know how the north mm-hmm. end is. The food was amazing.
Hmm.
And the woman said, 10 minutes? Yeah. The food was incredible.
Huh, about that. Hey, Jade, thank you for the call. I don't know. It would seem to me that from a business sense, it's counterproductive. You're competing against yourself. I mean, would you put three Rocco DeFazio's pizzas in Troy?
If I was getting the flow that have you been to the North End lately?
No.
Do
I look like I've been to the North End lately?
It is. They get as many people as Disney World. Did you know that?
Oh, come on.
Look it up.
Rocco.
They do.
You know.
They get as many people visiting the North End as Disney World gets. I'm not kidding you, Ray.
You know, she's the food writer. You need to look this up.
I wouldn't know that. Well, I can't speak as a food writer. I can speak on
There's over 100 restaurants there. And none of them, you never see a for sale sign. And none of them ever go out of business.
Well, look at even in you know, closer to home, there's so many amazing Little Italy neighborhoods. There's DeFazio's in Troy, and there's the whole little, you know, you have Red Front right down the street.
Right.
And in Schenectady, you have Pareca's, which has been around forever, 100-plus years. And Mechanicville had a great Little Italy.
And Albany until
recently.
They decided to tear it down.
But Hudson has a great Italian heritage. And you know, Connecticut, you know, Western Connecticut and Western Massachusetts, a lot of Italian neighborhoods.
Go to Federal Hill. They do the same thing in Federal Hill in Providence. Mm-hmm. Cianci, remember the mayor
Buddy.
They sent to,
sure.
Then he came back, he ran, and he won again.
Yeah.
He told the people, the restaurant owners, listen, I will help you open up another one if you want. And that's how Federal Hill... You go there now, it exploded because they used the same technique that the North End did. Go to the North End, I'm telling you. I was there a month ago for the Feast of St. Anthony.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Best food.
As a Mets and Giants fan, I try not to go to Boston very often.
Well, you just hold up the two fingers.
But you don't have to go to Boston. I mean, Boston has a great Little Italy neighborhood, but Montreal has a great one. And New York City has a great one.
Doesn't beat the North End. The North End. No.
All right, here we go. Now, I knew there'd be some trouble.
I'm sorry.
Let's go to John in Del Mar. John, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering about chicken livers. A few Italian restaurants have them, but most don't. And I remember one time in Boston, in that area, that North End, I asked about chicken livers, and I can't remember what he said. Like, that's old, too old, or used to happen. A lot of places used to happen. Is it regional, or do you know anything about them?
I never cook chicken livers.
Really?
Never.
Deanna?
I think, well, you know, it's kind of like Italy has a tradition of nose-to-tail cooking. So I think that's just part of that cooking. But people, when they open up... like they use
everything.
The whole animal,
yeah.
So they use the organs and you know you can't find tripe on menus anymore. It's really hard to find tripe. It's hard to find liver. It's hard to find heart.
Plenty of tripe. Have you heard this program, John? We got to move it along here very quickly over to Evelyn in Albany. Evelyn, you're on.
Hi, Deanna.
Hi.
I don't know if you've paid a lot of attention to the British baking show. You know, the contest where mm-hmm. people bake all kinds of stuff.
Uh huh.
And then they've been, Paul and Mary are baking, showing how they would bake these same items. And they're talking about ingredients like caster sugar
mm-hmm.
and icing sugar and strong flour. And I'm going, what's the equivalent that we get here?
Okay.
Sure. Strong flour is just bread flour.
Bread flour, okay.
Yeah, and caster
that
sugar.
That makes sense.
Yeah, caster sugar is very, very fine sugar. It's not confectioner sugar, but it's finer than white sugar.
Granulated.
So what you do
it's
if
finer
you,
than granulated, is it?
So in right. between granulated and powdered.
Right. So if you can't find it, just put it in your food processor and pulse it a little bit.
Okay. Uh-huh. Evelyn, I think we're going to have to leave it there. We're just about out of...
And icing sugar is confectioner sugar, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
Good
Thank
luck.
You.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. All right, Deanna Fox, what are you working on?
I just did a big piece on ginseng. That'll be in the Daily Gazette, so look up that.
Okay.
It's going to be the cool new root. People are using turmeric and ginger, and they're going to go back to ginseng.
Okay.
And the vegan food, and I got a bunch of cooking classes coming up.
What's the most recent, the nearest one?
Tonight I'm doing a gluten-free vegan southern food class.
That's fairly specialized.
Very
interesting.
But we have a Mexican dessert class coming up, so halfway to Cinco de Mayo.
And your website?
Foxonfood.com.
Thank you. And Rocco, things are going all right at the shop?
Very well, staying very busy.
And the event coming up on October 22nd is?
Stick It to Hurricane Maria and seven items. You want to read the seven items?
Sure. This is all to support efforts in Puerto Rico. Batteries, flashlights, portable lanterns, diapers, baby wipes, cases of water, feminine hygiene products. And how do people find out more about that?
274-8866. New York State we're giving these items to New York State, and they are sending them to Puerto Rico.
And there's a stickball tournament as well?
And we are going to play a little stickball.
Are you going to play?
I am relegated to pitching now. I tell my boys, I have another great at-bat. They go, that happened about 20 years ago.
Oh, come on. anyone can hit.
Pitching
is tough.
Pitching is easy. Hitting.
All right, Deanna Fox, will you be playing a little stickball?
We'll see.
We'll see.
I'm a ringer. Look out.
All right. Well, thank you both for being here today. That was a lot of fun. The food was great. Support comes from Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tasting Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Warwick Valley Farmers Market, 37 family farms, artisan kitchens and bakeries offering pumpkins, squash, apples, eggs, cheeses, meats, seasonal vegetables, and baked goods. Open Sundays, warwickvalleyfarmersmarket.org. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts, blueherondining.com/catering. At Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, featuring over 80 local farms and food vendors every Saturday 9 to 2 in downtown Troy. Winter Indoor Market starting November 4th in the atrium, troymarket.org. Thanks again to Deanna Fox and Rocco DeFazio for being with us today. Thank you for the calls and for the emails. And thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took your calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Hope you have a lovely weekend. No Medical Monday at 2 o'clock on Monday. You know why? Because the fun drive starts on Monday morning at 6 a.m. If you want to shorten it, we'd love to get your pledge now at WAMC.org. Feed the lockbox. Either way, we'll see you Monday at 6. Have a great weekend.